Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this episode is Cues of the Force. We are going to take some questions and attempt to answer them. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. I really love doing this show. It's been so fun breaking out the questions so we can spend even a little bit more time on them. I have some thoughts, and then I have one that I just want to admit right now, Joseph. Kind of stumped me. So let's get to that. Let's stump ourselves.
I can't wait to see which one stumped you, because this week we have another great mix of like pretty in-depth and then pretty fun and silly questions. So I can't wait to see if you've been stumped on the deadly serious or the fun and whimsical. But before we get to the stump revelation, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Anything that you can play in MP3 on, you can use to listen to the book we're going to recommend. And we are recommending Kenobi by John Jackson Miller. This is an EU Legends book. It's a story of Kenobi just getting to Tatooine and figuring all his bleep out, which is a really fun book. And in particular, a fun one to look at now that we're seeing a kind of a different version of that story 10 years on in the television show Obi-Wan Kenobi. So if you're interested, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, audibletrial.com/forcecenter for a free audiobook. Ken, you've never read this one, right?
I have not. And this was one of the last Legends book, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
From memory serves, right? That, and I love the Darth Plagueis novel. I don't care about his staff, but I do love that novel. I really do. So I think, and then Kenobi one was like on my list. And then it was like, well, there's this tidal wave coming of new canon. I better start focusing on that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was in the same place of like I had physically picked it up to purchase in bookstores multiple times. I was like, do I have time? What's the deal? And it was so great to finally make time for it. So, yeah, check it out if you are interested, listeners. But with that, we're going to get into our questions. As always, we have two from Twitter and two from our patrons on Patreon. We go first to Twitter and we go to listener Nathan. Nathan says, while I love episode 9, one part I struggle with is the death of Ben Solo. I understand the importance of his sacrifice and what it means for himself and the galaxy, but I would have loved to have seen him live on with Rey and work on his redemption, become friends with Finn and Poe, and of course, make amends with Chewie. Say Ben did survive, would there be any post-episode 9 stories surrounding him you would like to see? For me, I like the idea of him and Rey visiting Naboo. He knows so much about his grandfather, so maybe he could learn more about his grandmother, too. This is a really fun question from Nathan, and I really like that Nathan front-loaded it with understanding the importance and sacrifice of of Ben's passing, because that is something that we talk about a lot in the Star Wars community and here on Force Center. Where do you go with this one, Ken?
This is great, Nathan. And look, hey, I think we definitely appreciate caveats here at Force Center.
Hey,
I just want you to know, but it helps in this day and age of online discussion that can be misconstrued. The tones can be off or just there can be a lot of hate out there. I don't mind. I think it's important to go. I do love it, but I have this to say. So I really appreciate where you're coming from, Nathan. And I do love this one because going back to the pre-episode 9 days, when especially not so much here in Force Center, but when I was on other shows and the emphasis was a little bit more on predictions and what do you want to see type of stuff, which by the way, are a lot of fun and fun conversations to have. I was on the, hey, I think Ben Kylo is going to be redeemed, but I would like to see what happens after. That is intriguing to me. It's a post-redemption world for Ben. What does that mean? Because I think we're so used to focusing on people's redemptions, but I wanted to see like people's reactions to him because like what would have happened if Anakin showed up on Endor half in the Vader suit, smiling through that broken mask, going, "Hey, Rebels, how's it going?
We did it.
Hey, here's my son Luke, everybody." And like, you know, there's a record scratch. Lando just, he's clapping and suddenly looks over and, what? You know, you got to deal with it. What? I think there's some interesting value in that. I think Star Wars is telling different tales about redemption and, but it's okay to have those thoughts. So I really, again, get where you're coming from here. So I'll just say this, Joseph, and I'll kick it back to you here and we can discuss more. I think the importance of going forward would be kind of analyzing the idea of, you know, true commitment to your change, true commitment to the better choice and the choices you've made. I think you'd have to learn to stand by yourself when others might not. Again, if you're Anakin going, I know this change is real. No one here in Bright Tree Village believes me. So what I got to dig into that. And there's a lot of the self-forgiveness. I imagine, particularly with Ben, if he had gone on, there's a lot of, wow, what did I do? Like, and that's hard. And there's some shame there that we all have to deal with in life. And all you look back, and that's why I look at Kylo being so, just not a fan of the past, as he would point out a few times, is because then you might have to face some of that stuff, which is okay. And so there's all those kind of themes, but none of this is immediately, I don't know, none of it immediately translates into great action, right? Just Ben going, oh, what did I do? So I think a tour of sorts does work for me. It could be a book, Ben and Rey's great tour, the great what if, especially the Padme stuff of just going, hey, did you ever stop to think about her for a second? You just focused on evil Vader. Got it. Good. But I would like to see Ben lead a team of folks going out in the galaxy to repair damages done by the First Order, some rescue programs, rebuilding programs, hold out warlords, or more importantly, maybe hold out governments that didn't get the message, didn't want to be part of the message, or didn't understand. Those kind of things, it might seem like low stakes, but that's big for the galaxy. And so that's where just as a plot, my mind kind of goes to there. So that's my overall take on it.
Yeah, no, I think we're in alignment on a lot of it. I think with the kind of as a fan processing Ben Solo's passing, because I was with you. We talked a lot on Force Center. You know, one kind of wild prediction I had is like, what if he just ends up on Octo and being like, okay, you know, I made the better choice. I've made this connection with Rey. I've helped her stop the threat of the First Order, the threat of the Emperor. And yeah, it's going to be real awkward if I just try to bounce down to the celebration party and here comes Kylo, the fourth in the hug with Poe and Finn. Like, hey, you physically hurt both of us a lot. Maybe back off, dude. Maybe give us some space. Like, right.
You so how killed you, Bolio.
You killed. Come on. You got to answer for Bolio. It's fun to joke about, but it is a real like challenge. Right.
Yeah.
So. So that was like one just kind of image I had of like him being like, I will set things right. But, you know. I know I need time, and I know anybody else needs time, and just, you know, a shot of him meditating, you know, floating above that that spire of the light side that Luke was on when he entered the Force. Like, so that was definitely a thing that I had in my head of like, oh yeah, a different story. Don't need to totally, you know, remix all of the reasons that I do like that he passed, the absolute sacrifice, the closing of the Skywalker saga, so it does feel a little bit more like a definitive chapter, and then we're, you know, entering this new chapter with Rey. I like a lot of those things, but there's the wanting a different kind of redemption story, because we saw that with Vader, the final act, better act, the final better choice, and then passing into the Force. But then there's also just the Ben Solo's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the little bit of time we got to spend with him is so tantalizing that it's totally understandable, I think, as a fan to want more and imagine more and kind of in our heads, what if more? And to me, that's one of the ways I process this question is I'm perfectly happy with what happened in the movie. But I also understand that desire to be like, I want quality time with Ben Solo, you know, see if he gets more talkative.
Yeah.
Or if that's just really he communicates in grunts and smiles now on his redemption tour. And I would like to see that story someday in Star Wars who maybe it's not a galactic scale like Vader or Kylo, but who truly does some very, very awful things and then has to live with how do I make that right? I think a lot of fans are hungry to see that story. But to go to Nathan's question directly, I actually do have a little bit of hope depending on when, where, how we ever get more stories with some of the sequel characters. I do think there's room to treat the story differently. He disappeared into the Force, so one would imagine that he is not gone. He just exists in a different way, that he is retaining his consciousness within the Force. But then we have this whole different idea of how do Force spirits maybe work when it's a dyad? And not just a dyad, it's a dyad where they have exchanged their literal life energy. And it's easy to go to kind of a joke place where Rey goes everywhere and just, you know, nobody else can see Ghost Ben, but he's floating around having opinions. You know, it's easy to go to a jokey version of that. But if they are truly in some ways one in the same, you know, there's a possibility of very interesting storytelling. Like even what Nathan is saying, it's not, you know, Ben physically there, boots on the ground, but, you know, can he and Rey go and visit Naboo? And he is very, not just popping in every once in a while in moments of great need, like we've seen Obi-Wan and Yoda do, but kind of with her in a much more constant and present way. What kind of story might that be? You know, and a lot of that depends on the medium and when the stories are told and all that. So I have this little bit of hope for a kind of a different kind of Force spirit story with Ben and Rey. And then final thing for actual, just like, what if he had survived? Nathan's great question about post episode 9 stories. Definitely with you. I would love to see him helping people in the galaxy and humbling himself. Right. Because there's a little bit of like he could absolutely eventually return to being a Jedi and being like, I'm committed to service and I go around. But there's a little bit of station to that. Right. There's like I'm a Jedi Knight with a lightsaber. And like, I would love him to just be like, I know that we entirely ravaged the forest on this planet. So I'm planting trees, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there could be an interesting conflict if you have somebody who's like, I have grossly abused my power.
Yeah.
And I know I need to get back I need to get myself back to a place where I can make good choices about when and how to use my power. And he's just there to plant trees and doesn't want to get involved, but somebody needs help and he doesn't quite trust himself yet. I mean, there's a little bit of poetry here with what we're saying, seeing in the Kenobi show, but I think that would have been a really interesting story. And then I would think a really interesting challenge would be a kind of redemption he could do is help rebuild the school he broke with the Jedi school. But how much does he want to just say, like, Rey, you take it in whatever direction you want, but I'm here to add some pointers or advice if you want. The rebuilding of the Jedi school with a live Ben Solo would be fascinating.
Be a great starting point for him there. And I like what you're suggesting of, I don't want to translate it as like a penance, like I can't be a Jedi because of this, but like a little bit of, I need to make sure I can get back to that point or I can take that path too. Forget what other people are looking at. Like, is this, you know, not that he deserves it, but that he just be like, I gotta really can't just jump back into a tunic and a blade, you know? It's a long thing.
And I think that's what's fascinating about a lot of our Justice for the Jedi conversations and, you know, when they intervene and what situations and why, the way Luke shows up in the end of, you know, season 2 of Mandalorian. It's like, I'm here for this child who asked for my help. Looks like you all have a bunch of stuff going on, but I'm not touching it unless you ask me to get involved, right? It's hard choices of when to use your power. And like with what we see of Ben Solo in Rise of Skywalker of like, yes, the greatest threat the galaxy has perhaps ever known is about to win the day. This is not ambiguous that I should use my power and intervene. But if you're in the middle of like some little conflict in a village and like, should I be putting my thumb on this scale? That's really fascinating Jedi philosophy, especially for somebody who's just like, I'm trying to keep my head down and make things right.
Yeah, I love that. And I love your idea, too, of this kind of storytelling in Star Wars, just with any character going forward. And Kylo, Ben, that's a big character, right? Vader, we're talking big characters. So finding the right way to do it, of just analyzing just real change, true change, commitment to change, but also other people's reaction to it. I think it's something we all might deal with in real life. You know, even I've gone through great changes. I haven't ordered the destruction of 5 planets or been, sat by and watched that. But, you know, looking back, like, been around a bit. I'm in a different mindset than I was. And like, it's easy for me to reemerge to a person I haven't seen in 10 years and say, hey, I think this now. And them go, really? Do you? Let me sit with you for a little bit and see if that's true. I think there's some value in Star Wars kind of analyzing that or looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, something that it isn't that is the intention of the story. It's not a beat at the end of a story, but that's the point of the story is to watch somebody go through that journey would be amazing. And right now, even if we can't have more Ben Solo storytelling, I would settle for more Ben Solo action figures.
Yes.
Please. Sell us his awesome shirt with the hole in it. That would be cool, too. Ben Solo merch, please. Any other thoughts on this question, Ken?
No. Love it. Thanks, Nathan. And get it. And a lot of folks who might feel that, they left some Ben and Rey stories on the table. I totally understand that, too. I'm like Joseph. I'm really happy with the mythic tale we got in 7, 8, 9 with the character of Kylo. But I understand it. That's the joy of Star Wars. It's always so much rich storytelling there that you might want more. So get it.
Yep. Yep, and I'm still excited for the possibility of, you know, more Luke and young Ben Solo storytelling as well. So still some hope for Ben and his shirt. Moving on to our next question from Blake Harper. In A World Between Worlds, when Ezra tells Ahsoka to come find him when Palps is attacking them, what do you think he really means? Did they see the finale of Rebels while wandering? Dave will be Dave with double meanings in Tarobang? I think this is a great question, and we've got that great moment when Ezra tells Ahsoka to come find him when they split up. I like Blake's great joke here about they saw so many moments in there. Did they see the end of Rebels? Yeah. And Dave Filoni, is Dave Filoni trying to have a double meaning, or is it a happy accident? Ken, what are your thoughts on this one?
This is the one that kind of stumped me. I'm going to be honest here.
Ooh, this is the stumper.
This is the stumper, but one of the reasons is it's been a while since I've taken a pass through this episode and lived with it. I love World Between Worlds. I talked a lot back in the day about it, but you and I were talking even off air, Joseph, to pull some of that conversation into the podcast here today. Just like, this episode, some wonderful relationships with fans in this episode, right? This is a pretty powerful episode. It gets mentioned a lot. Sometimes I wonder if it's mentioned, I don't know, in the way the episode was intended. I think there's a lot of themes in there to explore. Sometimes themes get left on the table and the plot mechanics get pulled forward. So I went back and watched the episode today, and it was weird almost kind of watching this out of context episode because I haven't lived with Rebels in a bit, right? Just the entire series. Where I was just like, I don't know what he means. I think it might be, it's definitely not Dave going, hey, in a few years, I'm going to have a sequel on Disney Plus. It's not necessarily that, but it's a little bit of, I don't know. To me, it was, I'm thinking of some stuff Yoda told Ezra about how to fight and why we fight and the reason and choosing the best way to approach it and him learning from Kenobi, this is not where you belong. This is your path somewhere else. And just him kind of, in that moment, separating a little bit, being able to let go. He's the big moments with trying to save Kanan, and Ahsoka's kind of giving him the big lessons there. So there might be just kind of like, you go your way, I'll go mine, and then come find me, and we'll just do this together when your quest is over, and I've still got mine, and there's stuff like that. But then being so far removed from the episode in the run of the show, I was like, man, was there something I'm missing before that I couldn't recall? And that's where I'm just a little honestly slumped, Blake.
So I did not do a full rewatch of the episode. I watched like the last 10 minutes to sort of refresh, as I've done a couple times to remind myself of like exactly what sort of visual are we left with right. Ahsoka, because there is so much ambiguity in Ahsoka steps through the portal. But at what time, you know, and how long is she stuck on Malachor, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I took it, just watching it again, is that from Ezra's perspective, it is to me, it was about this episode is a little bit of Ezra going through the attachment journey, right? That's one of the things that's going on. That's the temptation of the world between worlds, is to bring Kanan back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He happens on a Ahsoka, and that is, you know, this different kind of moment. You get the sense that was kind of a moment that was always meant to be, whereas, you know, doing something about Kanan's passing is a temptation toward negative attachment. And, you know, he needs to learn to let go. And Palpatine is using this pain to possibly get this horrific power. So I kind of took it as Ezra's gone through this lesson where he knows he needs to say goodbye to Kanan, as he does at the very end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Ahsoka is still alive. And I just took it as like a friendly, like, we got to go our own ways now. You got to step back to wherever you're meant to be now.
Mm.
But a healthy attachment of like, but I care about you, Ahsoka. Come find me. It really felt like we're going on our different paths, but I really want to see you again. You know, it felt like Ezra very casually kind of demonstrating, I get the difference between caring about your people in the moment versus being so afraid of loss that you need to do dangerous or unnatural things.
This is great. I love it. This is a, dare I say, like a healthy connection, right? A healthy attachment, but healthy connection. It's like you and me at Star Wars Celebration. Joseph, you going to look at figures? Oh, I'm going to go get a hot dog and love your brother. I'll see you in an hour. Like, you know, it's a little bit of that energy.
As opposed to like, I'm afraid of losing you, so I'll go to the hot dog stand with you. Cause what if we can't find each other again, you know,
or never see you again.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's about the difference. I mean, Rebels is a show about, in many ways, I think, I need to spend more time with it, but it's about connection. It's about found family. That's why people love it so much, I think.
Totally.
And I think it's, you know, and Ezra's having this sort of epiphany about what his journey is, which is to save Lothal, right? To save that part of the galaxy, and that will make a difference, and that's big enough. He doesn't need to fix everything and save everyone, right?
Yeah.
He needs to do what he is meant to do. So a lot of it is about caring. And I think watching it just those 10 minutes, it really felt more about Ezra, about his connection to Ahsoka of like, hey, I'm glad you're alive. I care about you. I want to see you again. You know, I could still use your mentorship. You know, it didn't feel at all like he had any awareness that he was going to be lost somewhere far away and truly needed Ahsoka to find him. It struck me as like this sort of bittersweet, ironic, like,
yeah,
if you said, you know, hey, I'm going to get the hot dog, you know, if I'm not back in, you know, in 5 minutes, you know, don't let me be lost to the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
And then you literally disappeared.
Yeah.
And the thing you said appeared casual and then it had great weight. Yeah. I kind of take it that way. And I do think that the very talented storyteller Dave Filoni planted it that way as something that sounds casual in this moment, not casual, but you know, not the level of stakes, not the literally like I'm going to be lost and disconnected from everyone and everything I know and love. Could you please come help me? Which it appears is Ahsoka's mission statement. It was not said as a mission statement because I don't think he had the knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, no, love it. No, I love the take. I love working through this with you and Blake here on the show. Love Rebels. I was in season two. I'd rewatch all season two. You know, by the way, I watched every episode two or three or four times back in the day, especially when you were doing reviews of it. But love the show. But it's such a rewarding show to go back to now. It really is. And this is one of the big episodes that always stands out, but there's so much there. And I think there's something, too, for my final point on it, too, of even Ezra showing this ability to even let her go in that moment. He goes his way. She goes hers. There's a little bit of not that you do things for just a simple reward, but her coming back and her out now searching to find him is also her healthy connection. And he did his journey. And now my journey is synced back up. And there's great purpose to me going out and trying to find him. And it's all connected.
And just wanting to help people, and I'm so excited to see the Ahsoka show. That I think there's going to be a lot of uptick in the analytics of World Between Worlds episodes, a lot of Rebels episodes, but World Between Worlds in particular, when the Ahsoka trailers start rolling out and when the show comes around, I think we're going to be talking about these beats and that line a lot more.
Yeah, and one, I just thought, I don't want to say anything up top and have it, misconstrued as negative, but like, I think, we're discussing too, of like sometimes the plots and this time travel kind of machinery of the World Between Worlds, it's inspiring, it's intriguing, and it gets brought up a lot. You and I were discussing that a little bit more off air, but I don't want anyone to take that as me, tisking or poo-pooing any of your ideas around it or any of your thoughts of it. It's a very fun, totally fantasy part of the Star Wars story. So I get it inspires more. I don't want anyone to think that's what I meant.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I think the World Between Worlds for myself is just like a fascinating, very, a space fantasy, what if machine with lots of ambiguity to it. You know, if we understand the Force the Force, through the Force, anything is possible. And this nexus of Force is connected to a person who walks into it. And all of these moments that maybe affect their life, affect the fate of the galaxy, play before them and create all of these potentially gifts of just seeing someone again for a moment, or, you know, temptations or the possibility of abusing it. All that stuff is really rich and interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that I kind of sometimes bump against her, that is when it's just seen as it's a canon correction device. And I just feel like, to me, that's absolutely. It's fun to think about those possibilities, but the actual episode is so rich in ideas about our own relationships with time and with the people we've lost and the moments we want to revisit and the reality that no matter how great we do right now, maybe bad things might still happen in the future. It's so rich with those ideas. I think I just always want to celebrate those ideas. As much as I get caught up in what could you do with time travel in Star Wars, I don't think that's for me. That's not the main thrust of the point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. You too. All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and the stumping mystery has been revealed. So we can take a deep breath and relax as we take a quick break and go into more questions in a moment.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And we are back to take our two questions from our patrons on Patreon. We go first to Jay. Jay says, we've seen acceptance and love of all things Star Wars given enough time, from the Ewoks to our current love fest with the prequels. Prequelist since 99, brag brag, says Jay. What are you most looking forward to when the sequels get their inevitable shower of praise in, 15 years' time? This is a fun topic as we look towards a bright future, at least for the sequels and their reception, yeah. As the sequel generation takes the reins. Where do you go with this, Ken? What are you looking forward to people celebrating?
I mean, Fountains of Wayne had a great song called Bright Future in Sales. He's got a bright future in sales. The sequel trilogy has got a bright future in joy, is what I think. And a shout out to Jay. Jay's been in our Discord recently, a recent Patreon subscriber, I believe. But definitely Jay's been in Discord just bringing a lot of fun energy. So good question, Jay. Here's where I go. I broke it up into three sections, Joseph, here. The messages, the thrill, and the fade out of the noise. So in an overall... overall approach here. The message is some of the big ones that you and I love celebrating with so many other fans of the sequel era, the community, the connection, helping others, the definition and the importance of true heroism and what it is, the power of choices. I could go on and on and on. Just listen to our old episodes or episodes still to come here on Force Center. They're powerful. And I look at that as to also connecting to the prequels and the change in the prequels. And one of the big things that changed in me as someone that went into, I think I liked it. No, I definitely didn't like it. That YouTube video told me not to like it. To, wait a minute, there's some things I'm connecting here and some things that are pulling me back. And when I was able to, along with you and meeting you on Jedi Alliance back in the day and having deeper discussions about it, which aren't always fun. You're not always at a bar going, hey, anyone want to discuss the big themes of Star Wars? Or do you want to talk about pew, pew, pew? But I think those messages are so present and powerful in the sequel trilogy that I know a lot of my contemporaries, I think, just quite frankly, overlook them and overlook their value to the youngsters or anyone coming up as a fan, by the way, not going to put it to a certain age group at all. So I think that's going to emerge. Then I'll go. Then the other side of it is the thrill. Imagine you're a 10-year-old girl watching the lightsaber fly to Rey in The Force Awakens. Imagine you're a young boy watching Finn and Janet and BB-8 ride Orbacks into battle. Imagine you're anyone from anywhere watching Poe lead ski speeders into a desperate battle, which reminds me of Hoth when I was a kid, or Luke standing behind Kylo, before Kylo on Crait. Just imagine all of that and more, and how it made you feel then. And if you're a certain age, again, 10, and now imagine you're 25 or 30, and that is the Star Wars you fell in love with first. That is going to lead us forward. That is going to bring new energy to the sequel trilogy. And then the final thing is the fade out of that noise. Excuse me. I almost said noid, like the old Domino's pizza. Domino's pizza commercial. But the fade out of all of that. It doesn't mean that all the criticism isn't, valid, right? I mean, there's still some things to talk about the prequels, original trilogy, any Star Wars, anything. We totally get that. It's not that will just move away. It's just, I think the passion and attachment to hate will wane a little bit. And as these voices emerge, and these voices are the ones who are now, I think of, E.K. Johnston getting to write the Padme novels after being that girl who saw Padme and was like, oh, I'm inspired by this. Hearing Leslie Headland, who is in a slightly, just slightly younger generation than you and I, Joseph, going, the legend stuff or the prequel era. Oh my gosh, that was my Star Wars. That got me into it. And I'm so excited for The Acolyte because that is a new voice. And so that's going to happen. And I'm not just talking about in Star Wars, but you're going to see a filmmaker at 30 going, oh, yeah, I was 12 when Force Awakens. came out, and that made me want to do this swashbuckling movie I'm doing here on Netflix too, because I'm predicting a Netflix too. You know what I mean? So I think those are the big things, and I'll concede the floor here. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think just hearing the perspective of people who grew up with it, people who got to see themselves in Ray, Finn, Poe, maybe people who saw a cautionary tale in some of Ben's bad choices as Kylo. I think it's people getting older and you know, we're talking way in the future, but like I think more people embracing the story of the older generation of knowing what that feels like to like, we won a hard fought victory and now we need to fight it again. I saw a couple of tweets earlier today from people, you know, of our generation, Ken, who felt like our generation, broadly speaking, fought for more inclusion, acceptance, understanding, and we're really having to fight those exact same battles again right now, you know?
Right.
Because it's not a one and done. It's, you know, and I think the story that is represented by the older generation of the characters in the sequel trilogy of the Luke and Han, Leia and Lando, Holdo, all those people who've like, we've been through this before and we don't want to have to do this again, but we do. I think that story having more appreciation and resonance will be great. I think really just people appreciating that the arc of the story does work very well, in my opinion. And hey, you know what? Somebody could sit down and watch it 15 years from now and think it doesn't work. I think it works very well. I think some of the things that were really, really fun to debate and wonder about, or even, you know, you end up reading some of the interviews from various creators and, you know, that maybe there was some push and pull behind the scenes. I think all of that is going to fall away when, you know, a 10-year-old just watches all three in a row without the room to have those debates, without getting emotionally involved in those debates, without even the knowledge that those debates or interviews happened. So like the emphasis on the mystery of who Rey's parents are, being frustrated that Snoke died and then was revealed to be a puppet of Palpatine. I think all of that stuff will be as accepted as Luke and Leia being siblings. And, you know, having grown up with the original trilogy, that was a big gear shifting, record scratching left turn to people back then. And it was debated about and joked about, and it's still joked about. But it wasn't, it's just accepted. That's the story of Star Wars. Right. And you can still have debates and discussions with fans if you want to really get into the history of it, of when did Lucas decide what and how, but it's just like, that's not it isn't like, oh man, I want to have a conversation about the original trilogy, but somebody's going to be really mad that Luke and Leia are siblings. Like, it's just not,
it does happen. Yeah.
It's not a fight, you know, it just, it is, it just is. That's the story of Star Wars. And I think people sitting down and watching the sequels with no, they finished Last Jedi and hit play on Rise of Skywalker, it's a totally different perception of like, oh, cool, reveal that Snoke was a puppet of Palpatine this whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing what people think of the story when they're not as distracted by some of that stuff. And again, as always, totally possible that people years from now will still have issues with some of those things. I'm just talking about, you know, kind of a different way to process them.
I love this stuff too, because what, you know, the fade out of the noise, it's not to invalidate anyone's, you know, good faith criticisms at all. It's just I one of my big frustrations the last few years is just sometimes just certain narratives, I'm not even gonna say agendas, but certain narratives come out of some of the punditry around these films, and that becomes the story to people who just aren't even watching those channels or clicking on those tweets, articles or anything. They're just like, oh, I heard, right? It's the, oh, I heard this movie had reshoots, right? That's the standby joke we might make of Rogue One or Solo. And so therefore, I guess it's bad, right? And I just think a lot of that just naturally fades away. A friend of mine was, he's pals with the lead singer of My Morning Jacket, one of my favorite bands. He's a huge Star Wars fan, but he doesn't watch them every week like we do, or every month when they come out. He sat down and binged him at the beginning of the pandemic and texted my pal and was like, oh man, Solo was fun. And you're telling me people they didn't like that? Not in a not in a YouTube-y fight way, but just like a, really? Curious. I hadn't heard any of that, but I love that movie. That was a lot of fun. Like, and, you know, just, that's just human nature and the situation around it all. So I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to that day. Exactly what you're describing, Joseph. Someone sitting down with a stream, whatever the new Disney Plus 9 and 3D at home, and they're like, wow, I never would have thought Snoke was a clone. Well, that's great. You know, I look forward to that day.
Yeah, me too. So like, I think it will just kind of smooth them out, and then people can pay attention, I think, more to the ideas, which in my opinion all hold together really well. I talked a little bit about the generational story. I think, you know, appreciating that it is a story of two generations. Like, we're kind of going through this. We talked about this a little bit with Kenobi. Like, when you grow up with the original trilogy and you're just or you see it for the first time when you're young, you imprint and relate to Han and Luke and Leia, right? And maybe 3PO,
yeah,
R2.
Yeah.
And Kenobi's like a mentor figure. But now, because of all the other stories, A New Hope is like this generational story where we're watching the end of Kenobi's journey as well as the beginning of these other characters. And I think the sequel trilogy does that for all three movies. It's the story of two different generations, and it's a story of passing the baton. And I think having people really appreciate the work that went into that to balance those stories is great. And the more I sit with the sequels and think about them, for me, one of the things that I love the most is that one of the core ideas to me is, how do we relate to the past? And Rey and Kylo's journeys are all about their relationship to the past. Kylo attempting to either reject it or control it entirely. Rey needing it and not willing to stand on her own two feet, but needing to be defined by the past. And both of them finding a way forward and finding a healthier, you know, perspective of how do you deal with the past. You know, you learn from it, you accept it, and you try not to repeat the mistakes of it, but you have to go forward. You have to stand on your own two feet. You can't be defined by it, and you can't deny it. It's there. It's real. Yeah. So you got to find a way to make it a part of you, but not all of you. Like, all those things are so rich and interesting, and just every beat, every choice to me with Rey and Kylo's journey, it's about that. And I think it's really powerful, you know, and I look forward to the time where we aren't as distracted about the real life, you know, who should have directed which movie. And we're talking about the ideas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, even with the prequels, it used to be, you know, the conversation used to be, you know, George Lucas absolutely should not have directed those films. This is what happens when you're too powerful to have anybody else around you. There's no one to say no to your bad ideas. He should have been reined in. Like, and I know some people still hold those opinions, but that's not the conversation in the fandom. The conversation is the ideas and the beats and the characters, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, Rick McCallum's gum chewing was powerful enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. You had some great specifics, so I'll say these really quickly. Just some specifics once we get past some of the up and down votes in debates. Yeah. I know you're a big fan of it too, but just the greatness of the Kylo Palpatine mini horror movie at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker. I want people to just celebrate that. I want people to like project that on the side of their, you know, houses on Halloween night, you know. I want people, and I know some people are out here, but I want people to be like loud, proud, you know, Claude stands. I want like Claude to have a Dexter Jester arc.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Yeah. Brian Ward Jr. is going to make some Claude art, or maybe still Brian Ward.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're so right. There's just so many great action scenes. I think the whole first 30 minutes of The Force Awakens has just got such great adrenaline to it. Just forward moving, just really appreciating that, appreciating everything about Luke on Crait, from the meaning of it to the lightsaber fight of it. The huge emotion when Ben Solo shows up for Rey in Rise of Skywalker. There's so many beats that are action and thrill, but also emotion at the same time that I really love. And I know a ton of fans do as well, but I look forward to them being celebrated even more loudly and vociferously by the generation that grew up with them.
Yeah. 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 Indeed. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jay, for us giving us a chance to enthuse and speculate about the future of people talking about the sequels. Moving on to our final question from Justin Jacobson. This is a fun one. Justin says, roast battle between Uncle Owen and 10-year-old Leia. Somebody's getting roasted like they had a beach day on Mustafar. Somebody's getting crowned saltier than a crate sandbox. How do you think the competition goes down? They're both descendants of Shmi, and they both have tongues sharper than a lightsaber. So could cutting remarks be part of their connection to the Force? Very interesting question. Ken, let's just start with, if it is a straight-up roast battle, who wins, Uncle Owen or 10-year-old Leia?
I'm sure we have similar answers here. Leia wins, I'm saying, in a TKO, a good old technical knockout, meaning Owen definitely gets some shots in early, probably comes out strong, because I think Leia, especially the Leia we're seeing now, it's going to approach you with a sense of hope and faith that, you know, hi, cousin, right? She doesn't come up and say, hey, F you, cousin. She's like, hi, cousin. Then he's the one that kind of comes back hard on her relationship with droids and all that. So I think she's going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But then, even, you know, then Owen's going to come out hard early about, hey, grumpy, or you kid. Da, da. And then she's going to end it with, you're growling and groaning, and you're probably pretty tough, but I think you're trying too hard to look strong when you have a lot of fear about the future. And then, boom, he's out. He's done.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is a very fun thought. I think Leia decimates Owen. I think Owen forbids the words roast in battle to be used in his presence again. He is burned so badly. If it's possible to lose limbs in a roast battle, he's losing limbs. We had some great questions about the Owen sassy Owen meme, and it is devastating what he says to Kenobi. But I kind of think Owen is just, maybe he's got some wit and some precision, but I think he's mostly the guy who just dares to bluntly bring up extremely awkward topics.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he's really doing to Kenobi. It's not a cutting insight. He's just like, oh yeah? Well, what about when you bleeped up last time? It's just more like we don't talk about that. You know,
yeah.
That's where that sass is coming from, where Leia has great intuition and can see through your soul, find the tiny part in your soul that is flashing red like the weak spot on a video game character,
yeah,
and dig the knife in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that a lot. I think there's, you know, I've been on what I kind of say, like the slightly justice for Owen. He's carrying some big burdens there, but I think does a lot of things wrong, especially later on. We, you know, but it's fun, and we love having Joel Edgerton back. So I think, yeah, I think you're right. Owen strikes me as a little bit of a, hey, I just tell it like it is, which just means, for the most part, that means you're an a-hole. It just most part means you're just a rhino stampeding through an antique shop there. So, yeah, I think you're right about that. And Leia's just like, jab, 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 and then boom, I know
who you are. I'm telling it like it is, in my opinion, is often. I'm telling it how I think it is, and that's interesting.
Yep.
But you're making a claim that it is entirely the way everything is. Yeah, I could see, like, Owen would probably, I think, go in for the privilege right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, sure. I'm sure, you know, you're going to get me real good because you've probably been to expensive debate classes, Princess. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think he'd go for the privilege. And I think Leia would immediately just go like, yeah, you're right, Owen. The best way to save the galaxy is to sit around doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Enjoy your little fear cave.
Enjoy your fear cave. What we see with her, it kind of escalates, right? All right. And then she'll just be like, and you can not, you know, you're coming off with the fake Organa stuff kind of threw her off her game a little bit, but then she comes back. And I think you're right. I think it would just be like, bah, bah, insightful. And then like, good luck in your fear cave.
Bam, Owen goes down. Yeah. So this other great part of the question, that how much of this is from Shmi? Is it learned behavior from her adoptive son Owen? Is it passed on through the Force to Leia? Where do you think their powers of wit come from?
I think Owen, it's just the twin sons will do that to you. I mean, that sass is going to be baked into you. I think the genes are so strong in Leia from Padme and Anakin too. You know, unfortunately at times it was a tell it like it is guy. And I think that goes to Kenobi kind of looking at her so many times early on, being like, man, you remind me of someone. And why we're all so moved from that. Mm-hmm. I think Padme was so insightful, and I bet 10-year-old Padme was no different than this. No different than this. So that's where I think it comes from there. But Owen, that, and yeah, hey, you know, being around Klieg looks like he's probably been in a bar telling people like it is. I like Klieg, but, you know, he's got some views.
Yeah, no, Owen strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, you know, I know you don't want to hear this, but I want to tell you.
Yeah.
And that's sort of that comment to Kenobi is like, yeah, I'm just never going to let you forget, buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if that's passed on from Shmi. I think Owen, you know, justice for Owen. He's been through a lot. He's trying to keep this kid safe. Mm-hmm. You know, he's seen some of the horrors up close himself now. So justice for Owen. He's just trying to protect Luke. Maybe he gets a little too overprotective. But I feel like with Leia, I think wit could be one of her force powers. I think that, absolutely. Super intelligent, has inherited the power of a sharp tongue from both her mother and father biologically, probably from her adoptive parents too. But I mean, she's knowledgeable about the world, right? She knows a lot, and she is naturally intuitive, perhaps just as an individual, and perhaps increased by the force. But between intuitive and knowledgeable, that is so great from comedy. If you know a ton of facts and you can sense everything that's going on in the room, with the audience, with the person you're having a roast battle with. Oh boy. Yeah. Devastating power.
Love this. This is great stuff. Cause it's, I'm really spending some time at the Lars dinner table in my brain. I'm just, Klieg Lars is the type of guy that when the local sports team tried to change their name for the Tatooine Sand People to the Tatooine Tuscans, he's like, not my team. I got no problem with that name. And they're like, oh, Klieg. And Shmi's like, honey, come on, move forward with us. And then Owen's picked up on all of that.
You can evolve a little bit there.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it, Klieg. And I think Shmi, you know, if she was ever around for this, timeline-wise, obviously she can't. But in a fantasy world, I don't think she'd be a big fan of roast battles. I think, I think she would probably say, oh, I hate it when, instead of I hate it when Watto makes you race, like, I hate it when Comedy Central makes you do one of these. Hey, she wants everyone to get along. She's so kind. All right. Any other thoughts on that one?
No, I'm with Shmi on that too. So not my favorite digs either.
Thank you, Justin, for the real fun question to round out our episode. We also have a new power of the light side. If you have not heard one of these before, what we've done is we have posted on Patreon a post asking for people to share something they love about Star Wars. It could be big picture. It could be a character. It could be a moment from their own lives. We know that there is a lot of talk out there that can be angry. It can be negative. We always, even when we're critical, try to stay positive and celebrate the good spirit, the light side of Star Wars. And we thought this is another way that we can do that every once in a while, is asking our patrons to share something that that they really got from Star Wars in a good way. So if you're a patron and you're interested, go look for that post. But for now, we're going to share this Power of the Light Side segment from Ben Potter. Ben says, I love that my relationship with Star Wars has changed as it's grown from an interest to a large part of my content interest to something I think about in a deeper way. Also, I love that Star Wars is still for kids. Having two children that have become, with only a little nudging, big Star Wars fans is unbelievable. To talk about the base level coolness and deeper ideas of Star Wars was something I never had, and to have that with my kids is wonderful. Mm-hmm. That is a great power of the light side. Ben going on his own journey of becoming more and more involved in the galaxy far, far away, more affected by it, and then having another generation come with him is awesome. Any thoughts on this, Ken?
Love the generational stories. Star Wars, we would have had that even if there's only three movies, right? I still think this would be something you'd pull off the shelf and pass on to any of your children or anyone else, friends, family, otherwise, like pulling a Beatles LP off the shelf or something like that. That's the power of even just the original trilogy. But the fact that it gets to go on, the fact that so many generations get to come to it, is something I just enjoy hearing more and more of in these times. Also, Ben, I really understand where you're talking about of how it's just grown from an interest, a large part of my content interest, to something I think about in a deeper way. That's just where I'm at. And Star Wars has been my life from the beginning. And despite a couple eras where it faded into the background a little bit, I still had toys on my shelves and still talking about it, since 2014. It's been you know, reached a new level I never would have thought would have happened. But I'm with you. The way I look at Star Wars has changed and changed drastically over the last 2 years, where I have to engage with it on a deeper level because I want to, because that's why I get so much joy out of it. Yeah, pew, pew, pew will always be there. But, you know, let me tell you about that Danny Trejo scene. You know, it's just like I don't shut up about that stuff because I just love digging in and didn't always. And so that's been part of the fun. Star Wars grows with you.
Yeah, no, for me, it is a challenge to contain myself, the number of topics from real world stuff to other, you know, ideas in storytelling where I'm like, yeah, it's like in Star Wars.
Look, I'll get a little, not too worse. I got a huge fight with my mom over some real world stuff, like not going good. But hopefully, you know, we want to make amends and talk. But in that heated argument, I said, it's like in Star Wars. It's how powerful it can be. So love you, Mom. We'll work through it. But yeah, I get you on that.
No, I've been in the same place where like every once in a while I was like, I think I'll distract the person I'm chatting with if I say I feel this way because of Star Wars. So I just say like, I really think it's time to let the past go and learn from those mistakes and see if you know, let's work hard not to repeat them, but we can't change the past. So let's right. work together on moving on. Like, yeah. And I don't want to be it. I learned it from Star Wars. Cause yeah. in that particular conversation, it wouldn't help. Other conversations. Try to stop me bringing Star Wars up. I also just really appreciate Ben sharing the experience of what it is to share, as he says, the base level coolness and deeper ideas with children. I don't have children, but I've had the opportunity to do that a little bit now and again with nieces and nephews. In particular, one of my wife and I's niece is an avid reader, became interested in Star Wars, and their family was going to Walt Disney World and going to Galaxy's Edge. So it was really great to be able to send her for a holiday gift, the Black Spire book, and be like, you should read this before you go. And then the next time we saw her after she read Black Spire and went to Walt Disney World and Galaxy's Edge there, we were able to have a great conversation about the base level coolness and the deeper ideas and about like, how that the story of the Resistance building that base, how it might enrich the ride and all that kind of stuff. And it was a great little insight for me, who is not a father, into the kind of wonderful journey that parents are going on with Star Wars. So it was nice for me to see just a little bit of what Ben is getting to experience.
Yeah, love that. Love that.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Ben. Again, if you are one of our patrons, check out the posts. And if you want to share a Power of the Light side, please do. But for now, we want to thank everybody else who sent stuff in. Justin, Jay, Blake, and Nathan. That is it, Ken. Where can people find us?
Hey, we can be found on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. If you're listening to us on a spot that allows you to rate and review, hey, we'd be really appreciative if you did that. It helps the show grow, algorithms and whatnot. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly by going to patreon.com/ForceCenter. From there, you get into our Discord, where a lot of times I'm there all the time, but sometimes it's like late at night and I'll pop in there and just kind of feel like I'm in there too much, like almost getting too happy or sometimes too grumpy. And thank you all to our Discord people who are like, no, great, hang out with us. A lot of fun, but hey, get in there if you want. Find me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for a lot more. I say it a lot here, but one of my passions right now is my music show, Pop Rock and Radio, having a lot of fun with it. It's on Mixcloud, which is a whole nother thing you got to download and sign up and get on board with. But hey, if you get there and you like music, rock and pop fun, we have a party every Saturday night. Follow me over there on Mixcloud. That's it for me. Joseph, you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, to links to all of my other stuff. In particular, if you want to check out my other podcast, Obsessed, this week's episode is my wife, Sarah, interviewing me about my obsession with the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you want some more Star Wars talk, and that gets into some real-life stuff as well, so check that out if you're interested. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Leia's Power of Comedy, this has been Force Center. Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.